Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Tuesday, the 21st of July. Good morning. I'm Nick Hurley. Today, we're going to start with a bit of an update on the COVID vaccine from AstraZeneca. The Lancet, the official sort of journal article, has been published this morning. The stock price of AstraZeneca in the US is actually trading down about 3%. It is worth noting that their stock price is up about 20% over the last five trading days. The Lancet article was sort of largely expected. It does provide strong antibody and T cell counts in people that have taken one dose of the vaccine. The key difference between probably the AstraZeneca / Oxford vaccine and that of the Moderna one is that the Moderna one, they always talk about two doses. So this one could be a bit better based on the fact it seems to only need one dose. They reasserted their intentions to have the vaccine ready to be distributed by September, which is scarily close from now. The other thing in the vaccine news is we have news the UK government's secured supply lines with a number of vaccine manufacturers. Once again, we know we've seen the US, the European Union and the UK all announce their success in securing that, yet we still do not see anything from the Australian government, certainly nothing public, which does sort of raise a lot of questions about what Greg Hunt and the Health Department is doing at a federal level. Okay, moving back to a topic we discussed a couple of weeks ago, and that is the weird phenomenon we're seeing in the US where the returns of the US S&P index are all occurring outside trading hours. So JP Morgan, the IB in New York, ran a report last week saying that since the start of May to now, almost the entire performance of the S&P 500 has been actually driven by after-hours trading. If you were just to look at performance of during-hours trading, the S&P is actually flat since the start of May. Now, there's a lot of conjecture as to why this is happening. One interesting point is that if you were just to play this, you know, buy at close, sell in the open, you would generate a 40% annualized return, which is quite crazy. And yeah, there's a lot of questions about what is causing this. JP Morgan tried to be quite diplomatic and they've said the arrival of important news after US hours and during European trading hours, including both US and non-US economic data, as well as better virus-related news in Asia and Europe, have been important in understanding the divergence in performance between regular and extended trading hours. Now that sort of could largely be true, but really, you know, it's not like Europe's in a different time zone the rest of the time. You know, there's always that news flow from Asia and Europe outside of those times. You know, it could be that maybe, you know, US investors have always traded outside hours, particularly the most experienced ones. So that's nothing new. We are seeing Chinese PMIs driving a lot of market direction at the moment. And even the US payroll and US retail sales are released outside extended hours. But perhaps another perspective the investor blog Zero Hedge makes out is that it could be that so much of market performance is being driven by central banks, and they suggest that it's at night when the central banks go out and do their actions. So that could be the key of it. Another theory I have is that it could be that, you know, large tech has been the driver of performance so much in this sort of COVID rebound rally. And where, if you're an investor in Asia, an investor in Australia or Europe, and you want to buy large cap tech, where do you buy it? You want to buy the US, so you want to buy futures of the large cap companies. So that it could be that you're being driven by the fact that the US is sort of the only place to go in this sort of growth seeking rally. UBS Asset Management and Morgan Stanley have come up with some research looking at sell signals for stocks and, you know, typically disappointing earnings, falling sales and accountancy scandals, are classic indicators. They've come up with a new one being pay revolt. So that's where, you know, at annual general meetings, the investors vote down remuneration packages of the executives. The majority are still signed off with little protests, the FT reports. There's, in the US, 91% of votes at both S&P 500 and S&P 1500 companies were cast in favour of executive pay last year. Now, the UBS study looked at 1,700 incidents and found that companies that lost a vote on executive remuneration at their annual general meetings were much more likely to suffer share price performance. And Morgan Stanley have quantified that, and they said over a five-year period, the relative one-year underperformance is 15% on average after investors rebelled. And then last year alone, on the S&P 500, they underperformed their peer group, each company that had a rebellion, by an average of 20%, with a median of 10%. And moving to the markets, the US, an hour after opening, is up about 12 basis points, with NASDAQ up 90. Coming up today, we have the Reserve Bank Governor in Australia speaking, and the RBA minutes from the last meeting released. And the Australian dollar is back above 70 US cents, testing its prior high. And that is your early finance briefing for Tuesday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.